A legal education means you will learn to speak in a new language. You will be taught to achieve insight into the world around you and to sharply question what you know.
You can't handle the truth!
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete.
Lose! I don't lose! I win! I win! I'm a lawyer! That's my job! That's what I do!
Okay, everybody, this is Alex Barnett from the Comedians of Law. I'm here with my co-host, Kevin Israel. Hey, Kevin.
What's going on, Alex? How's everybody doing?
We're great over here. This is episode 32 of the Comedians of Law podcast, coming to you live, or sort of live on tape, the week of April 28th. Kevin and I are manning the helm once again, bringing you all the news that's fit to print or listen to from the legal world, that we see fit to print at least. And but before we get into that, Kev, we got some big things coming up on the horizon for Comedians of Law, do we not?
Yes. Well, actually, you know what? Why don't you we just had a show at Gotham Comedy Club on Friday night. How'd that go?
It was awesome. I got to say, considering how bad we are as comedians, it was fantastic.
I unfortunately was had a prior booking, so I was at another show. I wasn't able to be with the team, but you held down the shop, and who else was on the show?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because we're going to get to that in a second. We've got some new members, new blood in the group, and they were on the show. It was all women, actually. It was a first for us, except for me. Joan Weisblatt, Siobhan Beasley, Julie Katakis, and me. And the ladies, I got to tell you, they kicked butt. They were hilarious.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Absolutely hilarious. I mean, frankly, I think I was the one dragging the show down.
Well, that's to be expected.
Right. Not surprising. But they were really fantastic. It was Julie's birthday, and she added a double dose of funny for that reason, I think. But it was awesome.
And that segues right into that. This is going to be we're going to experiment this as a regular show, right?
That's right. So a couple big things to announce on the heels of that show. Number one, as I alluded to, we have new members in the group. So it is Joan Weisblatt, Siobhan Beasley, Julie Katakis, and our West Coast newbie, Matt Storrs, who's actually from Phoenix. They'll be joining the group, and they'll be performing regularly without us throughout the country. And as you mentioned, this Gotham show will be a regular monthly occurrence. It's going to be every month, beginning in June. We're taking May off because we have to get some logistics straight. Also, I think you have to go to the beach.
Listen, we've got our priorities. I got to get my tan on.
Right, but starting June 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Gotham Comedy Club, we're going to be doing a monthly show here in New York City at the very famous Gotham Comedy Club. And the really exciting thing is about that is that we're teaming up with the Gotham Comedy Foundation, a charitable organization that provides comedy to hospices and hospitals and people with terminal illnesses or very serious illnesses to provide humor therapy. And we're going to help them raise money by doing our show. So we're very excited about that.
Comedians at Law becoming philanthropists.
Yeah, which is remarkable considering that how selfish and narcissistic we all are.
Who would have thunk it?
I know. I mean, especially you with the tanning and the weightlifting. It's hard to believe that you actually could have an altruistic bone in your body, but you do.
You know what? I do. I have a heart. It's a surprisingly big heart in this massive chest of mine, and it beats for the people.
It does. It does. Under those 44-inch pecs beats a heart that is going to bring.
That's actually accurate. How did you know exactly 44-inch pecs? Thank you.
I measured it one time we were on the road when you were sleeping.
That's creepy. Yeah. Now I know what's been going on. We definitely have to start getting our own rooms when we do these road shows.
Absolutely. But I have to say again, the show this past Friday was great. Anybody who wasn't there really missed something special, but you'll have your chance to catch us on the come around when we start June 21st. We'll have the link for tickets up very shortly. It's going to be fantastic. And I want to do, in all seriousness, give a big shout out to Bill Drews, who is the chairman of the Gotham Comedy Foundation. This guy is a force of nature. He has this leukemia. He overcame it through humor therapy. He set up this foundation, and we've partnered up with his group to raise some money for them. And it couldn't be a better cause, and we're just so excited to do it.
So this gentleman had cancer. He cured it, with the assistance of Laughter, and he still wants to team up with us.
Right. When and he still wants to team up with us after seeing our show.
This is huge. This is we're really turning a corner here.
Right, because it means that either he is still suffering the effects of the drugs he took and wasn't able to really witness what we did, or we're funny.
You know what? I'm gonna go with we're funny. I think we can say it today. You know, today the taping of today, Sunday, April 28th, Comedians at Law is funny.
Yeah. Meanwhile, where were you? So you missed the show Friday. What were you really doing?
Listen, I had a big training session. I was maxing out on bench and squat. had a combined personal best of 1100. No, I had a fundraiser up in Caldwell, New Jersey. It was very nice. It was for a football team, a high school football team. 300 people. It was great, and it was a lot of fun. So, and I just couldn't back out of it. And I knew Alex, the powerhouse of Comedians at Law, would be able to handle it.
Well, thank you. The flattery will get you nowhere, but for at least for now, it's okay. I'll accept that flattery. But anyway, we do have to keep this podcast particularly short this week because we have a lot of logistics to take care of in the wake of this past show at the Gotham Comedy Foundation.
I don't want to throw out too many spoilers here, but we have something big coming up on the horizon with the podcast.
Oh, that's true. I almost overlooked that. Thank you for reminding me. In my old age, I'm forgetting things. But you're right. We have a big, big development occurring in the podcast, and that's
we can't spill the beans just yet.
Right.
But if you're listening, if you've been listening, let me put it this way: however many of you there are now, I think there's going to be a lot more in the near future.
And you're going to like the podcast. Well, put it this way: the podcast now is great, at least according to all of our mothers.
Right.
But going forward, it's going to be even better.
Right. Well, you know, this is the way I look at it. When Orville and Wilbur flew that first plane, what was that? The Spirit of Spirit of St. Louis?
That was Lindbergh.
What was their plane called? Wasn't their plane named something?
They flew that biplane from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina.
And that plane wasn't named something?
No, Kitty Hawk is what you're thinking of.
All right. Well, whatever. If that's the podcast right now. It works. It's impressive. People are amazed that it's actually flying. But I think we're working towards a jet fighter.
I do agree. We're going to be flying an F-16 Tomcat.
That would be an F-14 Tomcat. An F-16 was the Fighting Hornet.
Listen, you mangled American history with the plane. I can mangle military history. It doesn't. Besides which, no one listening.
I'm so glad you screwed up that plane.
no one listening knows their history anyway.
The F-16 was flown in the movie Iron Eagle. The F-14 Tomcat was flown in Top Gun. Thank you very much.
You're a geek. All right. In any event, because we have to keep this podcast short, let's get right to the news. Okay? You ready?
Absolutely.
Since when has the paragon of investigative journalism allowed lawyers to determine the news content?
Okay, here we go, folks. We got three big news stories this week, as usual. This week, though, they're even bigger and more poignant, I think. And Kev, why don't you tee them up for us and let's get right into number one.
This one's an interesting one because it's two news stories tied together, and I think it's just an interesting legal link. First, there was the after the bombing in Boston, which was horrible, and our hearts go out to everybody involved. Big Poppy of the Boston Red Sox. Addressed the crowd at a game right after the bombing, and he said he dropped the F-bomb. He said this is our fucking city, and I'm only cursing for the purpose of
you
the
can't
quotation.
Curse on this podcast. This is a PG.
That was his quotation. I'm not saying it proudly.
Yeah, but
that's what he said.
We don't have a bleep machine. What do you do? I can't believe
but
that.
Wait, relax, calm down, because. The chairman of the FCC actually came out after David Ortiz said what I just quoted, and I won't say again for fear that Alex is going to have an aneurysm. The chairman of the FCC came out and said David Ortiz spoke from the heart at today's Red Sox game. I stand with Big Poppy and the people of Boston, and so he forgave Big Poppy's slip, saying that it was, you know,
so basically Big Poppy had a linguistic nip slip and it was forgiven,
and it was yes he had a linguistic malfunction,
right? That's right.
And, So with that hand in hand, also this week, a new newscaster from I believe it was North Dakota.
I saw this. That's right.
H.A. Clemente is his name. It was his first day in North Dakota, Bismarck, North Dakota. He was anchoring. This was his big break, and right before the show went they began telling saying the news, but they were live. He dropped effing S. I can't do that. He said fucking shit.
What are you doing? What's wrong with you?
Yo, I'm reporting facts, Alex.
You're taking prurient pleasure in cursing.
I'm sure all of our listeners' ears are bleeding right now. They're running to the churches, begging for forgiveness for hearing my filth.
That just
came out of my mouth.
That is not the standard by which we measure this podcast. Because, listen, I'm sure there's listeners on this podcast who've engaged in all kinds of sexual activities that are disgusting, but we don't talk about them online.
And some of the people who actually tape this podcast have engaged in some horrible sexual activity.
Well, no doubt you have.
Well, listen, we're not here to judge. But the point is, anyway, getting back to the point. So AJ Clemente said that it was an accident. He was nervous. It was his first taping. He was fired. He was fired on his first day.
Right.
He probably said one of the worst things you could say live on air. He was fired. Big Papi said something similar. And the FCC chairman himself came out and said, it's okay.
Well, go ahead.
I understand that these are two very different situations. But I think the point is that these are words. Their words are children learn at a very early age. The FCC stands by their mantra that they're there to defend our children and protect our children from the evils of profanity and all the language that will turn their hearts black.
Right.
I think we're really seeing the rules at ends here. They're at odds. And I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, look, let's roll this back a little bit. There's a lot of reasons. I mean, there's a double standard applied here, clearly, for a lot of very good reasons. AJ Clemente, I'm sure, is a very nice person, but frankly, you know, who is he? He's a nobody, just like you, me, and everybody else listening to this podcast. David Ortiz is the first baseman from the World Series winning Red Sox from years ago. He's an icon in the city. The FCC chairman, for all we know, is from Boston. You know, celebrities get a pass. I mean, that's the way it works. Celebrities get a pass.
You think that's what it was? You really think this was a celebrity issue?
I think it's celebrities get a pass unless you want to nail them to the wall, in which case they don't get a pass. But, I mean, look at how many DUIs Lindsay Lohan has had, and she's still walking free.
Well, she's stumbling free anyway.
All right, she's stumbling free. So celebrities get a pass, number one. Number two, look, the Red Sox, the curse of the Bambino. Ortiz was on the team that finally won the World Series. You got to give him a little bit of leeway just because he was part of that miracle. And number three, sadly, of course, you know, Boston just went through what it went through. And I agree with the FCC chairman. You know, when you go through something as horrific as they just went through up there, you got to give people license to let a couple F-bombs go.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that point. I just don't think that AJ Clemente, regardless of his intellectual ability, I don't think he should have been fired.
Well, he wasn't fired by the FCC, by the way. He was fired.
But clearly he was fired by his bosses of the station, and their concern is the blowback from possibly the FCC.
Well, let's make this.
I can't imagine that there's so many news stations out in Bismarck, North Dakota, that they were worried about all their viewers fleeing to the competition.
Well, look, I mean, I would imagine that the TV station out there is like Wayne's World, where they're sitting in Wayne's basement.
It did look like that. It did look like that.
But let's bring this back to the legal side, because we are obviously the community's at law. We have to have a legal underpinning for this. Is the issue here, does AJ Clemente have a lawsuit for wrongful termination?
I don't know. Isn't it?
That's the legal question.
Well, you know, first of all, he was obviously most likely an at-will employee. I doubt he had a contract of any kind. And I think I'm sure in the guidelines or the regulations, there's something about profanity on the air and behaving to a certain company standard like all of the big corporations have. So I don't know. I don't know if he would have a leg to stand on.
All right, now the other legal question is, did David Ortiz notwithstanding the FCC chairman's comments, did he violate some sort of FCC regulations with his profanity? Because it was
that's interesting, and that's one of the issues here is that the FCC, it's very vague on what can and can't be said on the air. And the FCC for many years let these little slips happen, whether it was a curse, whether it was a nipple, whether it was the tip of somebody's penis. I don't know.
But here's the thing. Did Big Poppy curse on TV, or did he curse at a live thing that was being broadcast on television?
He cursed at a live, I believe it was a live airing of the game. Before, right before the game, they had a whole ceremony in recognition of what happened. And,
so the issue would be not so much did Big Poppy violate some sort of FCC regulation, but whether the Red Sox or the local TV station violated the regulations by airing that.
Yeah, well, that could obviously also be an issue.
Right. I wonder what AJ Clemente said when he saw Big Poppy curse. Did he say F? I can't effing believe that effing guy got away with that effing S.
I have a feeling I'm sure many expletives came from his mouth, but he probably didn't have the advanced understanding of the concepts that we're discussing to be able to put together the irony of what was going on before him.
Here's a question: how often do you curse? Do you curse at the gym?
Oh, I have a trucker's mouth.
You do?
Oh yeah. I love profanity and all its glory. I think they're just words. They're colorful words that add to everything. I use them in my act, except when I'm performing with comedians at law who hog ties me from expressing myself freely, which I believe is ironic because we're a legal group and yet we can't express ourselves as the Constitution would allow. But yeah, no, I have a felt mouth.
Okay. Well, look, I think we should move on to the next news story, but I think what we ought to do is we ought to make this the Twitter contest or competition this week. We ought to ask people to write in with their opinions about whether or not AJ Clemente has some sort of legal recourse through the courts for his termination, and or whether Big Poppy should have, or the Red Sox should have been fined for Big Poppy's comments that were broadcast. Right?
And when you're tweeting at us, use as much profanity as possible.
Yes. Yes, actually, we'll give extra points and a free T-shirt to the person who uses the most profanity. But you must tweet at us using the hashtag CALPOD, that's CalPod, not CalPod, CalPod, as in Comedians at Law, pod, and send that to us. If you do it on Facebook, that's fine too, but we prefer to have you tweet it at us because we're just trying to see if anybody listens and follows instructions.
Don't get me started on that. It's too early for that.
We'll give you some time at the end of the show to talk about that. Well, let's move on. Since we haven't resolved that issue necessarily, let's put a bookmark there and see what happens with that. Whether AJ Clemente, for example, shows up in New Jersey as a newscaster, we might fit right in.
I hope he does, because you know what? Here in New Jersey, we have thicker skin, we have backbones, and listen, we can take a little cursing. We can actually protect our children in ways that are right. And sell them. Those are words that you don't say, and we're not worried about them hearing these words and suddenly just going straight to meth.
Right. Okay. Well, let's leave it there and let's move on to the next news story because we do have to keep moving. What do you have up for us next?
Next, interestingly, and I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on this because it's going to be a developing issue, but the Michael Jackson wrongful death trial is going to be kicking off tomorrow, actually. And jurors are going to be hearing from the two sides. The family of Michael Jackson is suing AEG Live, the company that was promoting Jackson's comeback tour, saying that they hired or supervised Dr. Conrad, who was convicted of manslaughter in 2009 relating to the death of Michael Jackson. And they're basically saying that AEG Live was responsible. They knew that he was being pushed beyond his limits and that he was self-medicating with the supervision of this doctor, Conrad Murray. And they're suing for, if you're ready for this number, $40 billion.
Wow. Well, listen, okay. First of all...
No, wait, let me say that again. $40 billion.
All right. Well,
That's insanity.
Let's take this in order. Number one... For people who haven't been around this country for the last 3-4 years, Michael Jackson is dead, not living anymore. Sadly, of course.
Sorry to spoil that for you. He died.
Right, he died. It was very sad because he's the king of pop. I still love him. I'm sure you do too, in a very platonic sense. But But in any event, and the doctor, as you mentioned, was convicted of manslaughter because he was pumping Michael Jackson full of what? It was amphetamines or God knows what, you know, antifreeze. I don't even know what he was pumping him full of, but stuff, I guess, to keep him dancing and singing, you know, 24 hours a day.
But I know Michael Jackson was pumping full of stuff.
Right, but Michael, but the point was Michael Jackson wanted to take those drugs, yes or no?
Well, yes. Apparently, it's well known that Michael Jackson was not only a huge self-medicator, but they also called him a doctor shopper, and he would go around to doctors until he got the prescriptions and the diagnosis that he desired to get the drugs that he needed.
Right. Now, so his estate is suing for wrongful death, and I assume the estate is basically his two kids, right? Blanket and what's his name?
I don't know their names. I hate that he has a child named Blanket. I don't even want to discuss that.
Well, you know, I think it's important though because that's who's going to benefit from this.
But yes, his two children are going to get up. They're going to take the stand and talk about their father's last few days.
Right, it's Prince and Paris and Blanket.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that is their names.
All right. So, in any event, these are the people who are going to stand to benefit, unless somehow the brothers and sisters and the mother and father are trying to get into this. $40 billion. Well, I don't know. I mean, look, the man made a lot of money. You don't think he's worth $40 billion over the next, let's say, 25 years, presumably, if he'd lived for, you know, till the end of his natural life, he might have lived about 75, 80?
I'm just not a huge fan of assigning varying values to people's lives. I think one life is no more valuable or less valuable than another. And to say that he's worth $40 billion, where in other wrongful deaths, people have probably gotten a couple hundred thousand or maybe even less. I don't know. $40 billion, that's ridiculous. And I'm not saying that a life isn't worth $40 billion. But then after this, everybody who dies and whoever was responsible is found guilty of wrongful death, they should have to pay $40 billion regardless.
But not everybody's Michael Jackson. Come on. I mean, listen.
Thank God. Thank God for that. And I'm sure there are a lot of preschools that are also happy that not everybody is Michael Jackson.
Well, listen. Let's not get into to that part of it. But
he got into it, and a lot, apparently.
Well, so for the record, for people who don't know what you're alluding to very opaquely.
If there's somebody who doesn't know what I'm alluding to listening to this podcast, you can stop listening to this podcast right now.
Michael Jackson was accused of pedophilia and child molestation, and as far as I know, it was never proven in a court of law. And now that doesn't mean I would leave my son around Michael Jackson anytime soon. Or, of course, now he's dead, so I definitely wouldn't do it. But were he still alive, I still wouldn't do it. But it was never proven in a court of law. And the man was the king of pop.
But they did say that issue was going to come up in this case because it led to the stress that had him taking so much medicine.
Oh, well, there you go. But listen, $40 billion, I don't know. I mean, the man was the king of pop. Not everybody's the king of pop. I know you're not. I've heard you sing. It's terrible.
I am not. I'm the king of nothing.
Right, and I'm not the king of
nothing. And I'll tell you what. I don't think I'm worth $40 billion.
I can assure you you're not. That's easy. I wouldn't buy you on an Antiques Roadshow.
That hurts. But yeah, so you know, I think this is going to be a developing story. We can definitely follow this as the case proceeds to see how it's handled by both sides. I think it's going to be interesting. I think seeing the arguments and I really want to see how they're going to justify $40 billion. I'd like to see that math played out.
Well, isn't that based on how much he made up till this point in his life?
Yeah, I guess it's that. It's you know, past earnings, earning potential. I would assume that plays into it. I don't know what else plays into it. I'm sure that, you know, a lot of children could say that there's loss of consortium.
Yeah. I mean, it's – oh, children. Wow. You snuck that one past me. I wasn't
– Yeah, I got one that one past the keeper. You almost agreed with me.
Yeah. But I think it's just interesting in this world how, you know, the criminal system convicts somebody of a crime, and then all of a sudden there's the civil case, and there's, you know, that's where people ring the bell and monetarily, and I don't know, there's something unseemly about that, even though, look, the guy died tragically and young, way too young, but there's something unseemly about going. I agree with you. Like, is he worth $40 billion? I don't know, but I think there's something weird and unseemly about collecting money in the wake of that. But I guess people are entitled. Like, he was, they were robbed of his companionship and his income stream and his contributions to the world. And all right.
Ugh, and moonwalking. Anyhow, let's move on. Right, I'm sorry I brought this story up. I hate Michael Jackson.
Oh my God, you're, wow, you're gonna get.
No, I do. I'll say that I hate Michael Jackson, and I'm not a big fan of the Beatles. So go.
Oh, you know. Suck. The Beatles are awesome.
Yeah, well, whatever.
What do you like, Bon Jovi?
There's nothing wrong with little Bon Jovi here now and then.
all right.
Don't try to typecast me here, Alex. I'm not gonna fall. I'm not gonna take your bait.
All right, fine. Let's move on to the third story.
The third story is more related to comedy than it is law. Obviously, there is a legal component, but this past week, comedian Kevin Hart, who I think we can say is definitely one of the biggest names in comedy out there right now.
Yes.
One of the biggest names and probably one of the smallest people involved. And,
well, that's why I love him, because he's my height. So I love the guy.
Is he actually, do you know that for a fact?
My understanding is that he and I are actually the same height. While I'm not black, my wife is black, and therefore there's a connection between Kevin Hart and me.
Wow. Just 7 degrees of Alex Barnett.
And I believe he's been to kosher delis before, which makes him a friend of the Jews. So right there, he and I are almost the same person.
Well, here's where you and he differ.
Okay.
You have not been arrested for DUI and blown twice the legal limit.
No, that's true. That is true.
He was pulled over last week after leaving a party of some sort, a soiree, if you will. And he was driving erratically, and apparently I think he was driving about 90 miles an hour.
Wow.
And he took a breathalyzer test, and he blew twice the legal limit, which I think it was a 0.15. I think it's a 0.07 in California, a 0.075, I believe, in California.
So is he going to jail?
I don't know. He was released on bond, obviously. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with him, but this just brings an interesting point that when you have this much money and he's very wealthy, he's been in movies, he has that TV show that you watched for
I love that, The Celebrity House Husbands of Hollywood.
Yes, I never got a chance to watch it.
Oh,
but
let me tell you something. Let me just divert the conversation for a sec to tell people about the show. It's sort of tailed off a little bit lately, but it's really a very funny show. It's got him, Boris Kodjo, J.B. Smoove, Faison Love, I'm missing somebody. Robin Thicke. Robin Thicke's the one white dude on the show. That's like that's their shtick there. And it's really hilarious. It's a send up of sitcoms and reality shows both. And they're really good at it. It's worth watching. It's on BET, which I know is a channel you've never even heard of.
Yeah. Well, is that the gambling network?
Right.
Oh, that was a terrible joke. I'm sorry.
For our listeners, BET is Black Entertainment Television, which is where black-oriented television programming exists, because, you know, I guess white people won't allow black people to have television on mainstream channels. But
let's not get into that whole
thing. All right, fine. Thing.
Point is, Kevin Hart was driving drunk home from a party. I think Kevin Hart is hysterical. I love his stand-up comedy. I've never had the chance to meet him. I hear he's a very nice guy. I just don't know why somebody – I don't know why anybody would drive drunk at this point.
Have you ever?
Yeah. Listen, we've all had those instances where you're convinced that you're sober enough.
So
in my youth. Now, as a 36-year-old adult, if I have a beer, I won't drive.
Really?
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't like taking the chance. I don't drink that much anymore to begin with. But I just, I'm not gonna. I live in New Jersey, so
we know that.
Have a car.
Me.
What's that?
We know you do live in New Jersey. Believe me.
Yes. And in New Jersey, capital of the suburbs, you have to have a car, especially doing stand up comedy like we do. You rent out a car every now and then, or if you're doing stuff in the city, you don't need a car. But I need a car every day.
So Kevin Hart, you think? I mean, so do you think he was irresponsible? He was just, he thought he was a celebrity. He was above the law, or
I don't know. I don't want to make a personal judgment call on him like that. You know, Lindsay Lohan, if this was Lindsay Lohan, I'd say, yes, she's a dumb so-and-so. And she probably thought that she's gotten away with it so many times. I don't know Kevin Hart's attitude towards this, but I think it's more just, if you're that drunk, and he blew significantly over the legal limit, he was driving terribly. And the few times I can say this, the few times that I drove when I knew I should not have been behind the wheel, let's put it that way, I drove extra cautiously. So if you're that drunk and you think it's cool to drive as fast as possible, you must be hammered. And if he was that drunk and he knew he was going out drinking, why doesn't he have a driver? Why doesn't he have a car for the night?
That's the bigger question. I'll be honest. When I get famous, and it's only going to be a matter of days till that happens, I'm going to have a driver. I'm never going to drive again because I hate driving. It stinks. It's the worst thing. You can never find parking. It's annoying. To me, driving is so overrated. So
that's the old Jewish man in you coming out.
Maybe. I am Jewish and I'm getting older. But all I'm telling you is right now you heard it live on air. When I become famous, which I predict will happen by Thursday, I will never drive again. The first thing I'm going to do after I buy Ivan as many Lego toys as he could possibly ever want is going to be get a driver, a car and a driver. And it's going to be a car like the old Volvo with the roll bar and the reinforced sides. And I'm going to
seeing as I've driven with you, you don't really need a car because you can usually run faster than Alex drives. So that's not going to be a big loss in your life.
I tell you, and I'm going to get a driver, and I'm going to do like 17 different background checks on the guy. And I'll tell you one thing, it's not going to be AJ Clemente driving me around. Or Kevin
Hart. Entertaining. It would definitely be entertaining.
Right, it's not going to be either one. And I'm going to get a driver who's going to – the first instruction I'm going to give him is safety, and the second instruction is don't talk to me.
You're a pleasure to be with, and you're a lovely person. But I think that's enough about Kevin Hart. I just wanted to bring it up because he's a stand-up comedian. We all aspire to reach the levels that he's reached. He's really a superstar in comedy. And to hear stories like this, just it irks me because it doesn't have to happen.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to go that route. He has so many other options, and I think it kind of sucks. But anyway, we all make mistakes. Let's just assume this was a slip. Mr. Hart will be back on the straight and narrow and continuing to make us all laugh.
Okay. Well, let's move on to good cop, bad cop then.
Look, I'm really sorry about that. I just, I saw how aggressive you were being, and I thought, wow, I gotta go even bigger than that since we're doing bad cop, bad cop.
What? No, I said good cop, bad cop. I'm the bad cop, you're the good cop.
Okay, then there it is. That's it. I thought you said bad cop, bad cop.
Okay, Kev, here's the final segment of the show. I know you love this the most because this is when you get to take off your mask, pretending to be a nice guy. And you get to be a big, flaming you so-and-so. Good cop, bad cop. And
yeah, well, listen, it's not a matter of me taking off my mask. It's not a matter of me whether I'm not. I'm a very nice guy. Anybody who knows me, has worked with me, knows I'm a nice guy. I pride myself on being a gentleman. The issue here is that we've asked repeatedly over, what's this, 32 episodes now?
Yes.
This is the 32nd episode where all we've done is beseeched our listeners to talk to us and interact with us. You and I were here just 7 days ago having the same conversation, and guess how many people have interacted with us?
How many?
None.
No, that's not true. Plenty have, but it's been in real time, not in real space, not necessarily online.
Okay, well, all right, that's fair. If you really want to parse words like that, fine. Then I'm talking about fine. Interact on Twitter with us. We've had almost none. We've had none. We had one gentleman, Darren Patterson, who's a friend of Julie, say that he was excited about the show on Friday.
Well, there you go. That's something.
But what drives me even crazier about this is that each week we're getting more Twitter followers. We have Diane Lawyer Trebejo. I'm sorry, Diane, if I butchered your last name. She started following us. Maybe she's listening to the podcast. I don't know if she is or she isn't. She should be, Diane. You should be listening because Diane, since we've mentioned you, and nobody else is willing to step up to the bat for this, if you listen to this podcast and you've heard your name and you tweeted us, we will send you a T-shirt, a Comedians at Law. Made in the USA, all cotton T-shirt. I don't actually know if it's made in the USA. I don't want to misrepresent anything, but it is all cotton. It's a beautiful T-shirt with our logo on it that you can wear proudly and have everybody ask you about Comedians at Law.
See, there you go. You've come over to my side, the good cop, and you know, in fan engagement side.
No, I'm not. I'm fine. But our fans suck.
They don't suck.
They do suck.
No.
Why? I mean, what part of the sucking aren't you picking up on?
I think the fact that they may not be engaging at the levels that we're looking for is a testament to our lack of whatever creativity.
You're gonna blame this on us.
I do.
You're like the beaten girlfriend.
I blame.
It was my fault.
Mostly, I blame it on you and Ritter. But
of course you do, Mr. Pass the Buck.
Yes, I blame it on you and Ritter. I think you know he's so Hollywood. He's cutting deals. He's doing this, wearing sunglasses indoors. And then, you know, and you with your muscles and your tanning and all that stuff, it's off-putting. It's off-putting.
Listen, I refuse to take the blame for this.
You're both bad. You know, you're both single. That's scary to people. They never know like which way you're going to go out late. You're going to
For the record, I'm not single. I do have a girlfriend.
Well, all right, you both have girlfriends, but that's still like, it's not, you're not settled down.
See, I don't like that. Just because we're not married, just because we haven't gone into some legally binding pact of the end of your life doesn't mean we do things. We have stuff going on. It's not like, well, I'm not married, so I can just run around naked. It's that's not the free life we're living. You got married, you had a kid, you put those chains on yourself. Don't put them on me.
Yes, I did, but I'll tell you something. I think, you know, now that I'm married, I would say that people who are not married are inherently suspect.
Happy. I think happy was the word, not suspect. I think you meant happy.
Well, all right. So Diane, we're gonna send her a T-shirt if she tweets to us.
Tweets at us with the hashtag CalPod, and you know what? And give us some love. That's all we ask.
Right.
I'll be a much happier person. I'm putting this challenge out there. I'm putting it to you, the listener. Say something. Anything you want to us.
Right.
Literally
just,
anything.
As a reminder for the next week, the Twitter contest was to tweet to us what they thought. Whether they thought A.J. Clemente had a possible legal action against his former employers at the TV station or whether Big Poppy should be fined for his comments that were broadcast on air. And the challenge to people on top of that was to use as much profanity as possible in the tweets to us. Right?
Yes. And you lace it with profanity. Make me proud. Make me happy. And hopefully we'll hear from you. That's all I want. I just want to hear from you.
All right. So let's sign out. But as we're doing it, let's remind people again, the next big show at Gotham is going to be June 21st, 7:30 p.m. It's going to be the first one where we're officially partnered up with the Gotham Comedy Foundation. It's a great cause. It's a 501c3 fundraising charity organization.
And that's 4 days after my birthday, so it's going to be a big deal.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's awesome. So everybody should come out to that. They should be checking our website, our Facebook page, our Twitter. ComediansAtLaw.com, Comedians at Law on Facebook, at Comedians at Law on Twitter for information about the show. And let's also welcome aboard one last time our new members, Matt Storrs, Joan Weisblatt, Julie Katakis, and Siobhan Beasley. I think that's it, Kev. That's episode 32. You ready to go?
I'm ready. Thanks a lot, Alex. Listen, right. Have a great Sunday. Go be with your family. I'm going to go be with my girlfriend and watch Game of Thrones.
Fantastic. I'll talk to you soon.
Later.